In a world where our attention spans shrink with each notification ping, Susan Wise Bowers, the well-educated mind, arrives like a lighthouse cutting through the digital fog. This isn't just another book about reading. It's a roadmap for reclaiming your intellectual autonomy in an age that increasingly outsources thinking. What if the path to wisdom doesn't require expensive graduate programs or elite institutions, but rather a disciplined approach to reading that anyone can master? The revolutionary premise here is deceptively simple. Systematic reading transforms not just what you know, but how you think. Consider Thomas Jefferson's advice to his nephew that history could be acquired from books without professors, or how 18th century American women with limited formal education developed vibrant intellectual lives through reading journals and book clubs. The pattern is clear. Self-education has always been the secret weapon of independent thinkers. But there's a crucial distinction between information gathering, which we do constantly online, and wisdom building, which requires deep engagement with complex ideas. One makes us knowledgeable about facts, the other helps us make sense of those facts in meaningful ways. The classical approach to learning follows three stages that mirror how our minds naturally develop: grammar, absorbing foundational knowledge; logic, analyzing information; and rhetoric, expressing opinions about what you've learned. Most of us make the mistake of jumping straight to opinions without properly understanding or evaluating ideas first, like trying to write a symphony before learning musical notation. This explains why many adults feel inadequate when attempting to read great literature. We assume we should immediately grasp Homer or Henry James without preparation, then feel defeated when we struggle. But reading great books requires different mental muscles than casual reading. Just as you wouldn't expect to run a marathon without training, you shouldn't expect to tackle Tolstoy without developing proper reading techniques. The solution isn't reading faster, it's reading differently. Speed reading might help with information gathering, but wisdom requires something else entirely. Think of it like the difference between scarfing down fast food and savoring a gourmet meal. Complex ideas need time to be properly digested and integrated into your existing knowledge. This means rereading passages, pausing for reflection, and allowing ideas to resonate rather than racing to the finish line. The most effective approach to serious reading involves three distinct passes through a text, each with its own purpose and techniques. First, read for basic comprehension. Who are the key players? What happens? What changes? Don't worry about understanding everything perfectly. Simply persist through confusion, trusting that clarity often emerges gradually. During your second reading, examine the work's structure and craft. How is it organized? What techniques does the author use? What point of view shapes the narrative? This analytical reading helps you see beneath the surface to understand how the text achieves its effects. For novels, examine character development and plot structure. For history, scrutinize the historian's argument and evidence. For poetry, analyze form, meter, and imagery. The third reading moves to evaluation. What do you think about the ideas presented? Do you agree with the author's perspective on human nature? What values underlie the work? This final level transforms passive reading into active dialogue with the text. You're no longer just absorbing information, you're engaging with ideas that might change how you see the world. Imagine approaching a book like a conversation with a brilliant mind across time. Wouldn't you want to listen carefully before responding, ask clarifying questions before forming judgments, and consider multiple interpretations before settling on your own? The secret weapon in this approach is the reading journal. Not a diary of feelings, but a structured repository for transforming external information into personal knowledge. This practice follows the tradition of the commonplace book, where readers recorded significant passages, summarized content in their own words, and evaluated ideas through reflection. Your journal bridges reading and understanding, creating a space for active processing. Begin by noting the title and date, read through once, marking striking ideas, summarize major sections in complete sentences, leave margins for later reactions, and regularly review your summaries while writing responses. This method transforms passive reading into active learning. E.M. Forster's Commonplace book exemplifies this approach, containing selected quotations, penetrating evaluations, and comprehensive summaries that reveal his thinking process. Thomas Merton's notebooks similarly demonstrate intellectual synthesis, blending quotes with personal experiences and reading notes. Have you ever finished a book only to realize weeks later you barely remember its key ideas? The journal prevents this frustration by creating a knowledge repository that grows more valuable with each entry. It becomes a dialogue between you and the text, connecting past insights with present understanding. Each genre demands a distinct approach. Novels transport us to other worlds, some like Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter, immediately through vivid scenes. Others like Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude, more gradually. The novel's evolution mirrors changing perspectives on human nature, from celebrating individual freedom to exploring inner consciousness to questioning reality itself. Autobiographies transform personal experience into narrative, with writers imposing meaning on their lives. Augustine pioneered this form in his Confessions, selecting only events supporting his spiritual journey. The seeming artlessness of autobiography is illusory. Writers employ sophisticated techniques to restructure their past. When reading autobiographies, identify the organizing theme and the life's turning point where the writer grasps a significant truth and changes course. History presents unique challenges as an argument between competing interpretations. Unlike novelists, historians must build narratives around documented facts while retaining interpretive freedom. When reading history, first establish the basic framework: who, what, when, where, why. Then examine the historian's argument and evidence, watching for reasoning errors like hasty generalizations or oversimplified cause-effect relationships. The well-educated mind is not a static achievement, but a lifelong practice of engagement with great ideas. Through systematic reading across genres, we develop not just knowledge, but wisdom. Recognizing patterns of human thought and behavior across centuries, evaluating arguments critically, and forming well-reasoned opinions. This journey becomes particularly powerful when we trace how similar themes, love, power, justice, freedom, evolve across different historical periods and cultural contexts. In our distracted age, deep reading offers a radical alternative to superficial engagement with ideas. While social media encourages rapid consumption and quick reactions, sustained reading develops our capacity for focus and nuanced thinking. It reminds us that wisdom comes not from the quantity of information we consume, but from the quality of our attention. What if the most revolutionary act in today's world isn't posting or protesting, but sitting quietly with a challenging book, wrestling with complex ideas until they become part of you? The well-educated mind is ultimately about developing the capacity to think clearly, feel deeply, and live more consciously in a complex world. The journey begins not with expensive degrees or exclusive opportunities, but with a book, a journal, and the disciplined commitment to engage with the great conversation of ideas that stretches across centuries.